From Calvary Church of Santa Ana, this is the Calvary Life Podcast, the show where we share stories, tell jokes, and have discussions about faith, life, and God with people from Calvary Church. Here are your hosts, Eric and Matt.
All right, welcome to the Calvary Life Podcast. I'm Eric Wakeling here with my good buddy,
Matt Davis.
That's you.
Hey. And we are here, and we are joined in the studio, into the studio of studios.
It's very fancy.
Really fancy. But we're here with Crystal Alvarez. Crystal, say hi.
Hello, everybody.
Crystal, we are here to get to know you during this podcast episode. And so we would love to start with just the question, how did you end up here? What's your Calvary origin story?
It's actually a pretty funny one. I was attending Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa, and
That's us, right?
No.
Oh, wait, no, that's right.
Not you. Not you. Yep.
That's what everybody gets confused about.
They do.
All the time.
And my husband and I were looking for a church closer to home. And so we're like, oh, there's a Calvary right down the street.
Yes, there it is.
Let's go check them out. And so we came on a Sunday morning. It was actually May 6, 2012. And about a month later, we went into the bookstore to purchase a Chuck Smith video.
And do we even sell this?
You don't. Okay. We asked the lady at the counter, hey, do you have, you know, Pastor Chuck's new video? And she's like, who? And we're like, oh my gosh, they don't even know who Pastor Chuck Smith is. We got to get out of here. So yeah, fast forward a couple of weeks, we talked with Pastor Matt Doan, and he shared with, oh, that's very common, everybody. So now when I say, oh yeah, I go to Calvary Church, and they're like, oh yeah, which one do you go to? I'm like, well,
exactly.
Yeah. So yep, so that's how we started coming here.
We might need to do an entire podcast on just the difference.
I agree.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is one of the main things that we get confused.
I wonder if anyone listening right now is thinking, wait, what? We're not Calvary Chapel?
Uh-oh.
We love them. They're amazing. Yes. It's not that, you know, there's no, yeah, nothing wrong with it. But we are independent church. So, Crystal, you're on staff. So what's your role here at Calvary Church?
I am the elementary coordinator. So I help with first through third grade. So
awesome. What does that mean?
I help coordinate Sunday mornings and Wednesdays and special events. I get to connect with families and just love them well. So
awesome. How long have you been doing that then?
About a little over 4 years now.
Yes.
Yeah. And I served on just as a volunteer for a couple of years before coming on staff.
That's cool.
So mm-hmm.
And does an incredible job.
Oh, thank
People
you.
Don't get to see all the stuff behind the scenes, but you are a machine and you make it happen.
That's right.
It's a blessing to work here.
Hmm.
What's your come to Jesus story?
Oh, man, how much time do we have?
Enough.
Yeah, we want to hear it. Let's do it.
All right. So I was born and raised here in Orange County, the city of Orange. And I was not raised in a Christian home. Parents were very young when they had me, and they divorced when I was about 9-10 years old. Mom left, so I really struggled with not being wanted or accepted or loved. That was really hard. So I kind of lived my teenage years making all the wrong decisions, mm-hmm. seeking love in the wrong areas. My dad, who's a single dad, just trying to do his best. So that was another thing that was hard, because I do have a younger brother as well. Let's see, probably I was about 17 years old, and I started making some really bad choices. And getting high, smoking weed, just really not living a life I should have been living.
Mm-hmm.
And
Did you have any sense, though, when you're in that like phase of life that was wrong? Was there guilt associated with that, or just like, this is just me who I am?
It was more to mask the pain, right? Because I didn't want to have to deal with reality, deal with my life, deal with what was happening.
Just numbing.
Mm-hmm, yeah, right. I was just numbing. And
right, but it wasn't like, you didn't have any sense of, what was your context of, was there a context of guilt that the stuff you're doing? You know, when you say I was doing the wrong things.
Right, no,
don't have any kind of religious background.
There was none.
Yeah.
You know that they're wrong, right? But that the feeling I was getting from doing what I was doing outweighed the guilt. And I thought I was a good person, right? Mm-hmm. So I didn't really put two and two together. And my dad brought us to church, you know, started getting a little bit more. We'd go a little bit more as I was getting a little older. But, you know, I knew what I was doing was wrong.
Yeah, but yeah. Where would he take you to church?
Calvary Chapel, Costa okay. Mesa. That's why I started going there once I, you know, did right. become a believer.
No, that's great.
Right. Yeah, yeah. So yeah, fast forward a couple years, I met Ricardo, my now husband, and we started making bad decisions together, which mm-hmm. Just happened. And 7 years later, we finally get married, and I want to start a family. And he said, okay, we'll wait a year, and then we'll start, you know, we'll start planning. Mm. And a year later, I get pregnant, and then finally now I'm sober, right? I've got to think about my life and mm-hmm. the choices I've made and where I want to go and the fact that now I'm going to be a mom. So that scared me to death because I'm looking at my mom and who she was and who she is, and it was very hard. And so I knew that there was something I was missing. There was something I could feel the Lord just really tugging at my heart, just calling me, hey, like, I'm here. So, yeah, about...
And where did Ricardo come from? How did you meet Ricardo?
Well, he... I met Ricardo because he was actually my mom's marijuana dealer.
All right.
So that's how I met my amazing husband. And yeah, so yep, great story. So we got pregnant, and about 4 months into the pregnancy, I was like, okay, there's something I need to do. And I remember I was sitting on my bed, and I had been listening to some podcasts, listening to some sermons. So I knew, and I was actually watching Joel Osteen on my bed because I had been put on bed rest because I was having some complications with the pregnancy. And it was April 6, 2012. I gave my life to the Lord sitting on my bed. I remember Ricardo was outside because I was managing the apartment complex we live in. And since I couldn't do the yard work, he went outside and he was outside doing the yard work. And I was sitting on the bed, and right then and there, I gave my life to the Lord. And
wow. It
was it was such a freeing moment. You know, I really, in that moment, I felt loved. I felt unconditional love. And I really feel like it was the Lord preparing me for what he had ahead. Because about a little less than a month later, I went into labor and gave birth to my little girl, Emma. And I had never, even in that moment of such pain and hurt, knowing that I'm going to lose this baby, I was at peace, and I felt comforted and loved, and it was amazing.
Now, how far are you into the pregnancy at this point?
I was 5.5 months into the pregnancy at that point. Yeah.
So it's super early.
Yeah. Yeah. She was about the size of my hand. She lived for 2 hours. She had a heartbeat for 2 hours. So family got to come down and hold her, and we got to pass her around, and it was it was a really hard day, but a beautiful day. Like, I got to be a mom for 2 hours, and it was really special. And at this point, Ricardo had not come to the Lord. He really wanted nothing to do with it. So that was hard, but it was actually a special moment as well in our relationship. Hospitals, what do they call them? The lady,
like, or
the chaplain? Yes, thank you. The chaplain came in and asked if she can pray for us and pray for Emma. And Ricardo really didn't want anything to do with it, but he knew that I had received the Lord, that I had been going to church. So he said, okay, sure, you know, come on in and do that. And so she came in and she prayed. And Ricardo said at that moment, like, he felt the Lord. Like, it was such an amazing experience for him. He's like, now he can share, like, my daughter lived for 2 hours and she managed to save both of us, right?
Wow.
She's just an amazing, so that was really special. And it's still that day, he didn't accept the Lord. He didn't say the prayer. But then that's where Calvary comes in. The exact next Sunday, it was May 6, 2012. We come onto campus because we wanted to come to somewhere closer. And we were going through the Courageous series. And Pastor Dave actually did an altar call that Sunday, and Ricardo went up and accepted the Lord that Sunday here, our first Sunday here. So, it was amazing.
Man,
amazing.
That is an incredible story of just such like heartbreak, while also these, you know, these huge pivotal moments of great celebration for your life of coming to know the Lord. I mean, that's like the ultimate, right? Mm-hmm. But then in all that's happening in the midst of that, like how much were you guys just sort of almost like your heads just swirling, like not really, you know what I mean?
Right. Like, no, it was, it was hard the difficult part was I was new, right? Very fresh. And my old reactions to life was to numb the pain with drugs. Well, that wasn't an option now, right?
Right.
Don't get me wrong. I stumbled. You know, there were times where I did not make the right choices. but I can feel the conviction. And so I knew that the Lord was just saying, hey, that's not what I have for you anymore. That's not my plan for you.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I have for you. Mm. So it was just diving in to that pain and leaning on the Lord and allowing him to change our hearts and change our minds and change our attitudes towards just life and even what he had in store for us. You know, you hear like, oh, God is good. Everything's good. And then I'm like, okay, well, I just became a believer and I lost my baby. Like, this sucks. You know, how is he good?
Right.
And so to lean to that and learn, you know, who he is and how he does love us. And he used it for good. You know, he didn't mean it for harm or anything bad. It's just, yeah. So, yeah. And then moving forward, about 8 months later, we actually got pregnant again. And baby didn't make it and didn't ever develop a heartbeat. So that was just another tough one. So, yeah, I think like the first about 4 years of becoming a believer, it was hard because then, we tried again, and that pregnancy lasted about 13 weeks.
Okay.
So it was just, yeah, it was just a really rough start to our walk with the Lord. But again, this Calvary has been amazing. You know, we've had so many people come alongside of us and really help us, you know, and lean into us and allow us to grow through that process.
How do you feel like you have processed through some of that loss, that, you know, that heartbreak, like all of that and, you know, and just
how, or
being mad at God or being whatever it is that you would feel towards God? I mean, you know, I know I've had some of those experiences in my life where I felt that, you know, that anger, or that loss, but I'm just kind of curious how were you able to process through that?
I feel like Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6 has really been something I've had to lean into. You know, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways, trust in him, and he'll make our path straight. So just knowing that what I think and what I know is so small compared to what the Lord knows. Like, he sees the big picture.
Mm-hmm.
I can just see little snippets. So I just have to keep leaning in on him and just trusting that he has a plan. And I think even working here in children's ministry has definitely been a challenge. It's been a challenge to see all of these amazing families and just how they get to have kids. Mm-hmm. But I get to be here to love them and to point them towards Jesus. And it's just such an amazing opportunity to pray for them as, you know, I want, as they get older, just to kind of know, you know, the seeds that are being planted now. It's very special. So I think that's really been a help growing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did you always want to work with kids, or did something within all those experiences, you know, make you feel like you wanted to work with kids, or, you know?
Yeah, I think I've always worked well with kids.
Yeah.
So I think it's always been a passion and a dream, but I never thought it would be possible, especially with the life I was living, to even think that I'd be sitting here with you guys today, you know, just 7 years ago. Just, it was not even something on my radar. Yeah.
Well, now you can walk into one of our elementary classes and not only see you there and working with the kids, but you do that alongside your husband as well.
Yes.
And to look at you guys as you're both doing ministry with these kids, you're not just like good volunteers, like you guys are phenomenal and the kids love you guys. And so there has to be a feeling of fulfillment in doing that and being able to do ministry together. Do you guys find that you love that serving together and Ricardo loves working with the kids?
Yes. When we get to serve together on Sundays, it's definitely, yeah, we love to love the kids, and then we get love to talk about it afterwards. Just like, oh, did you see, you know, how Johnny was impacted today? And so we get to share stories. It's special.
Mm-hmm.
What do you say to somebody? Because I think if we have some of our volunteers or some of our parents and they look at you guys, they don't know there's a backstory,
yes.
Right? Like, and I didn't know your backstory before you came in, but how do we as a church, people who've been going to church forever, what should our posture be to anybody who is brand new, like just showing up? They come to church for the first time. What is our posture? What is our face? Like, how do we welcome and bring people in knowing that everybody has a story?
I think it's important to try to get to know somebody a little bit more, you know, ask questions and find out, you know, where they come from and just love them where they're at.
Yeah, that's great. Trying to think about, like, so prior coming on staff, were you serving? You were serving in children's ministry also, or
yes, Ricardo okay. and I somehow Debbie Raleigh, I work alongside her in first through third grade, had got a message from Matt Doan saying, "Oh, Ricardo and Crystal would love to serve in children's ministry," and so she comes to us, and we're like, So yeah.
That's Matt Doan's best recruitment technique. Yes. Is he just says you do.
That's right. You just do it.
It works.
And, it's been a blessing. So him and I started in first grade. I think a few months after we had been saved. So it was really neat to kind of be telling the stories to the kids and learning at the same time with them. So yeah, we started serving in first grade in 2012, and here I am today.
Do you have a favorite ministry memory, something that's happened, interaction with the kid or volunteers, parents?
Oh, that's a really tough question. there's been so many. I think on a Sunday where I can just connect with a kid, I knew a few weeks back, a little girl, she had not been feeling well and she did not want to stay. And she's just crying, "Dad, take me. I don't want to stay." But I was just able to pick her up and just hold her. And she just wrapped her arms around me. And I just got to sit there with her until she was feeling well enough to know that it was going to be okay. So just those little moments where I get to connect with the kids individually is very special.
Yeah. And you're really good at coming alongside some of our kids that are struggling. They're having a bad day. Families are having a rough day. And we had even a kid this last Sunday that was struggling and just wanted to throw punches, and you just got to connect with him, and you sit them out a little bit, and you're with them, and you get to bring them to a place of just kind of calming them down and being the hands and feet of Jesus. That's awesome.
Just connect with them.
That's cool. How has God used maybe some of like your story and the stuff that you guys came from of, you know, being like drug dealer and doing all, you know, that kind of stuff? Have you seen like God open up any kind of like opportunities for you to have conversations with people that maybe somebody that didn't have some of that background, you know?
Yeah, I think as far as like that background of story goes, Ricardo and I serve at the OC Rescue Mission. Mm-hmm. And so we get to interact with a lot of younger people there. So just to be able to show them or let them know, hey, you know, there is hope. Like, you know, God has a plan. Just stick with it and he'll walk you through.
Yeah, yeah, that's great. Because I think it's like, yeah, people that know you would just be like, "What? No, there's no way." You know, it's just like you guys are incredible. And so it's been such a blessing to be able to kind of give a not just a words of hope, but almost like a picture of hope. You know, hey, like here's our life's not perfect or anything. I'm not saying that. But just like here's like what your future could be. Right. Like,
right.
You know, what do you think brings you the most joy in ministry? I know you shared like some about like that moment with those kids, but what brings you the most joy serving God in ministry?
Just serving in general. I love to see a need and try to fill it. So whether it's taking out the trash or, you know, teaching on Sunday mornings, it's just where there's a need, I like to fill it. So, yeah.
That's great. That's a great attitude.
I think as you look at some of the places, life has mountains and valleys, and you've definitely seen your share of valleys, and even just through pregnancies and fertilities, losing a baby. How does that help you coming alongside other people? Do some of those experiences draw you closer to other people? Are you moving towards them? Have you seen God be able to move out of some of those areas?
I've definitely been able to share my story with a lot of younger ladies that are, you know, maybe just getting married or having, you know, having the same struggle. So yeah, I've seen the good in it. Yeah, that have come out of it. Yes. Yeah.
Has there been like someone in your life that God put in your life, especially when you were in some of that hard time? Like, I'm just kind of curious, like when you were in that struggle, whether that was in the time of infertility or like even when you were first like becoming a Christian, like those are hard things just to navigate on your own. So did people kind of come into your life and help like walk you through that time?
Yeah, I think what really helped in the beginning was jumping into the discipleship program. Ross Strand is an amazing gentleman, mm-hmm. and just his story is incredible. Mm-hmm. So for him to be willing to invest in us and walk us through just the word and just to memorize the word, and that was instrumental in our walk, yeah, and growing our faith. And I think another person that I can think of here has been Mary Jane. Mm-hmm. She's been amazing. I know her and I have kind of very similar stories. So it's been really great to walk alongside life with her.
Mm. So I actually remember seeing you guys sitting with Ross, like out on the, like on the courtyard,
patio,
yeah, the patio area, just sitting on like the uncomfortable metal chairs, yes. and and going for it, like before Wednesday night or during Wednesday night program, stuff mm-hmm. like that. In those early years, I totally remember that. It's great. What do you think? Like, how can you even encourage people to get discipled? Like, to, you know, what would you say to someone that's maybe like younger in their faith or newer in their faith and it's just like trying to grow? Like, what would you say to them about discipleship and how that helped you? Or like, what did that mean? What does it mean to be discipled? Yeah.
Yeah. I think, again, coming from such pain and such uncertainty in mm-hmm. my life, it was really important for us to find out and truly get to know who God is, mm-hmm. what his characteristics are, what he has for us. So I think it's very important to find somebody that will help you grow and walk you through God's word and just hold you accountable. Mm-hmm. I think the discipleship program is accountability, right? Mm-hmm. We need to be held accountable to growing and learning.
Yeah. What do you think like holds people back? Because I feel like we have a lot of people that want to be or that are willing to help disciple others. But then it's just like people, you know, it's harder maybe even to get people that are willing to say like, oh, yeah, I want to meet one on one or one on two or whatever and be a disciple. What do you think holds people back from that?
I don't know if we just try to think we're too busy.
Yeah.
Maybe. And I think putting that time is important. It's a good investment that you're not only making in yourself, but obviously in the lives of others. And if you think about how many people that will reach as they disciple somebody, and then they, you know, those people disciple somebody, it's a huge impact that one person can make just an hour a week.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. It seems like we're willing to invest a lot, you know, into our, like a lot of different areas of our life to grow and whatever, but it seems like, man, let's invest that time into how we're growing as followers of Jesus, right? It could be so, so huge.
I think it just takes work, right? Like it takes mm-hmm. work to show up and be discipled. And mm-hmm. if you're going to disciple somebody, it takes work. It's that consistency of doing it constantly over and over, committing yourself to it. So, there's been a lot of changes at Calvary. Yeah. In the last year, what are some of the things that
what do you mean? Like,
I think this last year in general for me, there's been a lot of changes just in my home life and here. So
that's true.
Yes,
that's true.
And I even want to. Yeah, that reminds me of one other question before I wanted to get to the other question. You are here a lot of hours during the week, but you also have this side thing that you do.
Yes, you have to have a side hustle in ministry.
That's right. So your side hustle is doing what?
I am a school bus driver for special needs students.
And that's so great. And you park the bus here. And so if you ever see a yellow bus during the week on Calvary's lot, like that's you. You've driven that here because you did the early shift with some kids, right?
Right.
How's God used that for ministry? Like, do you get to... And not that necessarily like you're throwing gospel tracts out there, but what does that look like for you?
It's amazing. I really do think it's a ministry for me. I get to pray for the kids in the morning and in the afternoons, and we play worship music on the bus, and I invite them. I've invited them to the Christmas tree lighting and to VBS.
Awesome.
And so it's a really great ministry for me. I get to pray for the parents. Hmm. You know, that life is not easy. You know, when you have a special needs kid, you need extra prayers. So it's just, it's great to be able to be a part of that. And then not only that, but I'm getting to reach the people I work with, you know, in the office there. So it's a blessing.
Yeah, because we even said, like, hey, Crystal, we want to take up all of your work hours during, and you said, I want to hold on to a little bit of this with the, and that's just part of your ministry. And so you are with us as many hours as we possibly can get you for, because we love you. But then you're out there and you're doing that ministry. So I love that about you. What are some of the things that you're just excited coming up for Calvary, for the life of Calvary, for the future of Calvary, as you've seen some of the changes and things coming up?
Yeah, I'm really not fond of change. And so this was all, it was a lot, and I had a lot of pushback. But I think the Lord's really grown me in these last, I think, 6 months. I've seen the good that has come out of switching to our 9:30 service and our life group service. So I just see great things. I see families coming and connecting. I see parents getting involved and growing in the life groups. It's so important for them to be able to come together in a small group and get to share their lives with each other. Mm-hmm. And then that gives us an opportunity to love their kids, because their kids are also in little life groups. So it's really special. So the changes I have seen, yet I was not a huge fan. I'm definitely seeing the benefit of the growth that we're having.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And it's so true. Like, that, not everybody loves change. Like, most people don't like change. And so, but like, I think, you know, there's a thing, like, if there's no change, what that equals is death, usually.
That's
and
right.
So it's
nothing changes if nothing changes.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, even as we're talking about the change, though, like, it's not all easy for us as we're processing through that. There's a resistance there of like, I hope this works. And
right.
So it's tough sometimes, for sure.
But that's cool to have that attitude of like wanting, or being willing to. It's kind of just, okay, Lord, like, what are you going to do with it and through it? And
that's right.
Yeah, it's awesome.
It's just leaning in and asking the Lord, okay, there's something you're working here. You're doing something. So change me. Mm-hmm. You know, I think we all need to look at ourselves a little bit more and be like, well, we can't change the situation. How can you change me, Lord, and help me grow to further your kingdom? Because that's really what it's all about. It's not about us and our feelings or, you know, so.
Totally. And then I always am saying, okay, and Lord, help me. Help me to, like, care for and love those people who change is hard for. Because change is actually, like, I think probably easier for me than it is. And probably everyone out there saying, yeah, probably, buddy. You know, of course it is. But, yeah, it's just, but I get excited about the new thing. And, you know, you also have to seek the Lord and, okay, God, be, you know, caring and understanding of the people who that change is harder for, you know. And let's process through it. And don't just change for change's sake, right? So, yeah.
Crystal, you are a stud. Love working with you, partnering with you in ministry, with you and your husband. And thank you for your vulnerability, sharing your story. And I know that there's going to be people who are listening to this that are in the same place. They're hurting. Some of them are going through some of the same things. And so there's hope. Mm-hmm. There's beauty from ashes, and continue to pray and love you.
Yeah, maybe some more coffee appointments, because people can chat with you about it, right?
That would be great. Yes, I would love to share more of my story if anybody wants to hear it.
And awesome. You can always come alongside her on a Sunday morning and serve.
That's
in Children's
right.
Ministries.
There we go.
There you go.
Gotta get the plug in, right?
That's good. Yeah. Yeah, for all you drug dealers out there.
That's right. Come to Jesus.
That's awesome.
There's a process.
There's a process. Don't worry.
Background checks.
All right. Thank you so much, Crystal. You were amazing.
Thank you for having me. Have a good day.
Thanks again for joining us on the Calvary Life Podcast. If you enjoyed our show this week, don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening. If you want to learn more about Calvary Church or share any of your thoughts, check us out on our website at calvarylife.org or find us on one of our social media accounts. We're on Instagram at calvary_church, Facebook at Calvary Church of Santa Ana, and Twitter at Calvary Life.